This morning we read the Word of God from Psalm 15. So we consider the instruction of Lord's Day 43 in its explanation of the ninth commandment, in which God declares, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." We consider Lord's Day 43, and in that connection we read Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes the vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Thus far we read the Word of God. May God bless the reading of His Word. On page 24 in the back of our Psalters, we find question and answer 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words. That I be no backbiter nor slanderer. That I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved Christians, called to be saints, do you love the truth? Of course, the world does not love the truth. The politicians are liars. The lawyers are liars. The reporters on the television or in the newspaper or the magazines are liars. The men and the women, the husbands and the wives are liars. Many lies they tell, including the lie on their wedding day, the vow that they speak that they're so willing to break. The children, the young people, are liars and love the lie. So says John 3, verse 19, basically when it says, men love darkness rather than light. They love the lie rather than truth. But what about you and me? What if we could go back and hear a recording or look at a written transcript of all of our conversations in the past week? What if we could go, and we could do that, and look back at all of the text messages we sent? What if we could go and look at all of the posts? We could do that in some of the social media sites, I suppose not on Snapchat, but what if we could go back and look at everything that we had written? Would it show that we in our conversations really love the truth? And the second question is this. First, do you love the truth? But the second is, and this is true of all of the commandments in the second table, do you love the neighbor as yourself or myself? The Catechism calls us, in the light of the Ninth Commandment, not only to love the truth, but to love the neighbor, to defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. So now, what would that tape recording, maybe I should say CD recording, what would that transcript show? What does the record of your text messages and your postings on the internet, what does that show? And the question is not merely this, does it show that I love and tell the truth, but does it show that I love my neighbor? Or would we find too much slander, gossip, and backbiting, hatred for the neighbor expressed through the tongue and in other forms of communication? Beloved, I trust that you are saying right now that you know that you need instruction in the Ninth Commandment. I trust that you are saying right now you need to be shown your sin, to be humbled by the Word of God, to say, I am guilty. God, forgive me through Jesus Christ. And then I trust that you are saying that in thanksgiving for that forgiveness, you want to know how to live a life in which you speak the truth in love for God and the neighbor. Let's consider this Ninth Commandment under that theme this morning. Speaking the truth, not merely, no. Speaking the truth in love. What this is in the first place. Secondly, why we must do this. Why this is necessary. Thirdly, how this is possible. This morning, beloved congregation, we are called to speak the truth in love, and if we are going to do that, then we need to take the admonition of the Heidelberg Catechism very seriously when it tells us here that we are to avoid all sorts of lies. Notice the plural and the word sorts. Oh, yes, there are the blatant lies that are horrible that we must avoid, but the little lies. And notice, it's not just the big ones, but the little ones that are called the proper works of the devil. Yes, the blatant lie is despised and condemned by God, exposed in the Scripture, exposed in the very beginning in Genesis 3. God said to Adam the truth, and Adam reported that truth to Eve, his wife. In the day that we eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we will die. And when Eve reported that word that she heard from her husband, the devil responded with a bold-faced, outright lie. Ye shall not surely die. Thus Satan earned the title devil, slanderer, liar. In this world of men, this world of fallen men and women and young people is full of people who tell outright lies. We're so used to it that we can even categorize certain people as liars. The Apostle Paul did that. That's what the Cretans are. They are slow bellies and are liars. We joke about it, even though it's no joke, but there's truth to the joke. How do you know when certain people are lying? Maybe you're pointing to the politician. Maybe you're pointing to the lawyer. You're pointing to the salesman of some kind, maybe especially used car salesman. And you say, you know he's lying whenever he moves his lips because this is what characterizes him. He's a liar. But it's not really fair to speak that way about certain people as if, by comparison, the rest of the population is any better. Because the reality is that there is no truth in sinful man by nature. All are liars. Man fallen into sin is a liar about the fundamental thing about the fundamental truth that is revealed in the Word of God. Psalm 14, right before Psalm 15, shows us how we can understand that all men by nature are liars, because it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now you and I would never lie about that, would we? Say there is no God? There is no Jesus Christ? There's no salvation from sin? We wouldn't lie about that. But what about the rest of our lives? The Word of God says, even if you're ready to say, I did it to protect me, to protect my neighbor, the Word of God says you must avoid all lies, certainly outright lies. But then what about the so-called half-truth? Are you tempted? Maybe you young people are tempted to say, well, that's a harmless lie. Or that's we call it a white lie. It's not black. It's not evil. It's white. It's pure. It's an okay lie to tell. We know that by leaving something out, we are deceiving someone. I'm going to tell the truth, but I'm only going to tell it to this point, knowing that when I tell the truth in this way, I'm going to lead this person astray and leave a false impression in the mind of my parents or my teachers or someone else. What does the Word of God have to say? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism has to say all sorts of lies are works of the devil. But what does the Word of God have to say about that? And we know because the Word of God exposes that half-truth of Abraham, doesn't it? When he went to Pharaoh and Abimelech two times, two separate occasions, and he told the truth as far as it went. And it was the truth. Sarah is my sister. But he left out something very important. A very important detail, but he knew that this would deceive them. And this was to save his life. This was to protect himself. I'm not going to tell them that she is my wife. Now, was that a harmless white lie? Exposing his wife to that adultery? And even though we might say Abimelech and Pharaoh were enemies, that doesn't mean Abraham was free to show hatred and to do harm to them and expose them to sin and to God's wrath. That was no harmless lie. And besides that, we know that God hated that lie. God exposed that lie both times and made it so that his spiritual child, Abraham, was rebuked for that lie. So remember this, congregation and young people. There's no such thing as a half-truth. That's even a lie. To call it a half-truth, it's a lie. And maybe even a more serious lie than the full-blown outright lie, because that half-truth lives under the deceptive guise of being the truth. And so, let's remember, God does not approve of deceiving others, parents, teachers, fellow church members with half-truths. Let's remember that must be avoided on social media as well. Yes, the outright lies must be avoided, but also the half-truths. And let's be aware that on the internet, the devil is a master deceiver. And even though the church and the people of God may be seeking to use the internet to promote the truth of God, for the most part, the devil is using that as a tool to spread his lies. And there are many people whose entire persona on the internet is a deception. The studies say that people go on the internet to give the impression, everything is great in my life. And the studies say that the deception, hiding all of the pain and the depression and the sorrow, people are lying, and the oppression they give online. And that does do damage to the neighbor. And we are to avoid all those lies. Rejecting all lies, we are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. As our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, verse 37, But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Or that could be translated, of the evil one. And I'll have more to say about that in a moment. But the point is that what comes from God, what comes from Jesus Christ, what is produced as the fruit of the Spirit of God in His people is not lying, but the truth, love for the truth, and telling the truth. And the Word of God not only condemns in the ninth commandment and in other places lying, saying, thou shalt not lie, but the Word of God commends the telling of the truth. We see that here in Psalm 15. Verse 3 condemns the evil use of the tongue. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, that's the man who's commended. He avoids that sin. And then verse 4 speaks of the man who tells the truth so much so that he sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He says he's going to do something. He makes a vow. And maybe when he makes the vow, or maybe it's later on that he realizes telling the truth and keeping this vow is going to hurt me somehow. It's not going to be for my advantage. And yet, he does what he says. He tells the truth. God loves it when his people confess and speak the truth. But the Heidelberg Catechism has two main points. Speak the truth, avoid all lies, and speak the truth in love for the neighbor. You and I are not to test our words only for truthfulness. You and I are to test our hearts for love. Do we love or hate the neighbor? That's really the heart of the ninth commandment. You notice, the ninth commandment does not say, thou shalt not lie. The ninth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor with thy tongue. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor in thy communication. And so we must avoid falsifying anyone's words. That's hateful. I hate him. And I'm not only going to say this is what he said, but I'm going to make it sound like he said something much worse. To make it look like he's a much, or she's a much worse person than these words really indicate. Forbidden is false testimony in a courtroom. In the world, in the church, false testimony in the home. I hate my brother or my sister, so I am going to lie in order to get them in trouble with mom or dad. The Catechism mentions slander. Of course, that's wrong. The term devil means slanderer. It's devilish to lie about someone, maybe behind their back. But then backbiting is mentioned. And if you look in your footnotes, there's a reference here to Psalm 15, verse 3. And you notice that he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Backbiting is the word that the Scriptures use to condemn telling the truth to hurt the neighbor. Ah, yes. You must not say this morning, I keep the ninth commandment by not lying. I keep the ninth commandment by making sure all my words are true. You must say to yourself this morning, I must keep the ninth commandment also in the telling of the truth by loving my neighbor. Ham spoke the truth to Shem and Japheth, you know. He really did see the shame of his father's drunkenness. He really did see the shame of his nakedness there in his tent. And when he went to Japheth and Shem, He didn't lie to them when he told them about that. But he certainly didn't love his father either. He hated him. And God hated that sin of Ham. He took that telling of the truth and hatred for his father very seriously and cursed Ham and his son Canaan. Let's remember that. The ninth commandment requires that we tell the truth. But we do that in love, so that any time that we gossip, any time we have some truth to tell about someone else, and it's very enjoyable. There's something that, and it's our carnal nature that enjoys talking about that with others. And we notice that when we say, I've got something to tell you about Father Noah, his drunkenness, his nakedness, or let me tell you about so-and-so in our class, or so-and-so in the church. And we notice the ears perk up. The Word of God condemns that as a violation of the ninth commandment. It's sin. In fact, I think that we are right to say that this is a worse sin than the sin that we are talking about. Noah repented of his sin. Noah found forgiveness before God. You may think what a horrible person he is because he did that after school. What a horrible person she is because she did that on Friday night. What a horrible person he is because he did that on the internet. But God looks at us gossiping and slandering and backbiting about it, and he says, that's sin too. And maybe I can't be definite about that, but I wonder if he doesn't say, that's worse. That's worse. You're not forgiving. You're not having a loving attitude. You're having a sinful attitude towards the neighbor. And then let's notice too, and a warning here could be given before I go on to the next point, about what we do, not only say, but what we write. You may be saying the truth when you say something about someone's looks. You may be telling the truth when you say something about someone's personality. You may be telling the truth when you say something to your friends or your classmates about how strange or weird someone is. But it is hateful and sinful to tear others down. But now, moving on to the next point, not only does the ninth commandment regulate our tongues, but also our ears. That comes out when you pay close attention to what the Heidelberg Catechism says. It says, I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. Now, the situation is this. I don't know anything about what that person did or what happened to that person, but somebody's coming to tell me about it. He has all, or she has all the juicy details and has made judgments and wants me to join in with them in this discussion and in these judgments. Beloved, let's not be easy on ourselves. We do that. I'm not the one who said it. I was only listening. I'm not the one who is sharing the details. I was just the passive recipient. The Heidelberg Catechism is saying, not only are you to avoid all lies in speaking them, but let's be the kind of Christians, and I have met these Christians, and I hold them in high regard, who say, no, I don't know, and I don't want to know. I haven't heard, and I don't want you to tell me. I don't have any business knowing. This isn't promoting the honor and good character of our neighbor. Now, that doesn't have to be done in a haughty attitude. It can be done in a humble way. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to condemn you, but let's not have this conversation about someone else's character or behavior behind his or her back. Let's be the people who are ready to tell others, I only want to have loving discussions about my brothers and sisters. Now, does that mean we may never speak about the sins of a brother or a sister? In love for them, the Bible tells us that there are times where we have to call them to repentance, in love for their souls, in love for their future happiness and blessedness. But that doesn't mean then that we go and tell the whole world. And even though the Bible says you may tell one witness and then two or three witnesses, and then the Bible says, and you may tell the church if you have to, there is no justification for telling the whole class, the whole congregation, or the whole world on Facebook. Let us love each other always, telling the truth and seeking to build one another up. Why is that necessary? Let's ask that question this morning, beloved, and let's be very spiritual about that. Why am I to tell the truth? And why are you to tell the truth? And why are we to do that in love? And let's not simply say, well, the fact is, honesty is the best policy. And if you tell a lie and are caught, there are going to be consequences. And that's certainly true. A politician, he loses trust and may not be reelected if he's caught in a lie. A businessman may lose his job, may even be thrown into prison for telling a lie. A witness who bears false testimony may be found guilty of perjury and thrown into prison. A husband may strain his relationship with his wife and even lose her if he is caught in a bad enough lie. And children sometimes find that life is miserable. Mom and Dad don't trust me, and I keep being punished because I am telling lies. And that is true then, that it is a tangled web we weave when we learn to deceive. So people in the world will say, don't get caught in that tangled web. Don't bring those negative consequences, those punishments. The best policy is to be honest. But then that raises the question, and if the people of the world are honest in facing this question, they'll tell you they don't really think honesty is the best policy. What you ask would you do if you could get away with a lie? And we can see what the attitude of the people of the world is by their behavior. They would rather get away with a lie than tell the truth. That's quite a judgment. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've said that in order to indicate how black you think someone's character is. That's the person, that's the kind of person who would rather lie than tell the truth, even if telling the truth won't do them any harm. But the reality is that's the nature of man. Man would rather lie than tell the truth. And we Christians must be different, shining as the children of light. God is the reason we must avoid all lies, because He, as the standard of light and truth, condemns all lies as evil. The Heidelberg Catechism is telling us that when it says that lies are the proper works of the devil. We have to ask the question here, where do lies come from? Where do the lies of the world, when you lie, when I lie, where does that come from? And the Bible wants us to know that doesn't come from God, first of all. 1 John 2, verse 21. The Apostle John says, I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and no lie is of the truth. So there's no way for a Christian to say, I can tell lies because these lies come from God. No lie is of the truth. No lie is of God. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. They come from the devil. That's what the Catechism means when it says lies are the proper works of the devil. He is the slanderer. Jesus Christ calls him in John 8, verse 44, the father of lies. And that means to lie is devilish. It's not godly. It's devilish. That's the judgment of the Word of God in Titus 2, verse 3, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, where the King James uses the two words false accuser to translate the Greek word that means devil. And that word false accuser is applied to human beings who speak the lie against the neighbor. And it's as if the Word of God says, this is what human beings do when they lie. They're acting as little devils. And that puts lying in a different light than we often want to put it, doesn't it? Instead of saying it's not so serious for me to lie this way to my parents, to my teacher, whoever it may be, the Word of God says to you this morning, you must look at it this way. When I'm doing that, I'm acting like a little devil. And instead of saying when I'm gossiping about someone or posting some gossip about someone, it's just words. Hopefully he won't even hear it, but if he does or she does, it's just words. You're taught this morning to say, no, when I'm doing that, I'm acting like a little devil. Beloved, when we lie, backbite, slander, gossip, we are not acting like the children of God, but the children of the devil. Now it's clear, I hope, to you then, the lies don't come from God. The Word of God calls lies devilish. God hates lying. But let's add to that. He that impenitently lies and does evil with the tongue. What's Psalm 15 teaching us? He will not abide in the tabernacle of the Lord. He will not dwell with Jehovah on His holy hill. That's what Revelation 21 tells us too in verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into the city, the glorious city that is heaven. There shall in no wise enter into that city anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Those who impenitently continue in lying will be cast into hell fire. The lie is of the devil. But we Christians say we will tell the truth because our God is a God of truth. To put it negatively, Titus 1 verse 2 says He is the God that cannot lie. And we are His image bearers. We are to reflect Him in the midst of this world. You remember why we are called Christians? Anointed ones with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That Spirit purifies us. That Spirit changes us so that we begin to reflect God by hating the lie and loving the truth. And as Christians, and here we come, I can't help but go back to the Lord's Day or the Eighth Commandment. Do you remember the basic teaching of the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal, is that we are to be stewards. We don't own anything. We receive everything from God and are to use everything for the glory of God. Well, the basic point of the Ninth Commandment is we are prophets. God created the tongue so that we would speak to Him and about Him and honor Him, glorify and praise His truth, and testify about His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, we are called to love the neighbor with our tongues. But God created our tongues, gave us the gift to be able to communicate, to glorify Him first of all, and in loving Him, love the neighbor. And now, I ask you, if you have any more, and I hope you don't, but if you have any more desire or tendency to make light of the issue of lying, how is the church and how are you as a member of a church going to carry out your calling to be the pillar and the ground of this glorious truth of God, to testify to others about Jesus Christ? How are you going to expect your neighbor to believe you when you speak to him about the deep spiritual matters of truth concerning sin, salvation from sin through Jesus Christ, the hope of everlasting life, if the rest of your life you live in lies and deception? Beloved, not only in love for the neighbor, but in love for God, let us avoid all lies and love and tell the truth. And let's notice that we can do this, first of all, because we know the truth. Do you understand what a beautiful gift that is from God to you and me, to the church, that we know the truth? I submit unto you that the ancient Greek philosophers didn't know any truth. And the modern day scientists, the learned men and women of this world don't know any truth. Not even when they say 1 + 1 = 2 or 2 + 2 = 4. And I can explain that this way. Even if an unregenerate man would say something like that, that sounds like truth, when he says 1 + 1 = 2, he says that in a way, now I can know this and I can benefit from this knowledge without having to glorify God. I can use this knowledge to benefit myself. I can. Well, in the end, he's saying it, even if he doesn't say it explicitly, I can use this knowledge to serve the lie and sin. Beloved, this is one more reason why we reject public school education and why we have to be very careful about our children going to universities or colleges, worldly or Christian, where the lie is promoted. Because if the people of those schools and universities say we have much truth to teach these children, we recognize that because of their philosophy of life, their worldview of unbelief, they're using all of that instruction to promote the lie in the kingdom of Satan. God has revealed the truth to us. We know the reality about life, about sin, about Jesus Christ and His not only dying to save sinners, but also His coming again to judge this present world. We know the truth. God has given it to us in His Scriptures. And the Apostle John, remember, said that in 1 John 2. You know the truth. Secondly, beloved, we will avoid lies and tell the truth in love because we love the truth. Jesus Christ has delivered us from the devil. You hate him now, don't you? You say now in your own heart and mind, the devil's not my father. He's not my ruler. And I hate his God-denying, Christ-denying lies and all of those who promote them. And I won't do that. We're thankful that God has given us the ability to know and confess the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth that tells us. And once more, let's take this to heart if we still have any inclination to be easy on ourselves when it comes to lying. It was because of lies that He was crucified. It was because men came and told bald-faced lies that He was a thief and a murderer. It was because of white lies, because men came and said He is the king. And they didn't tell the whole truth, that He didn't want to be an earthly king, but He wanted to be a spiritual king. It's for those reasons that He was crucified. And then add to that this, it's because of all my sins, including my love of lying and all the lies that I have told, all the hateful things I've said about God and the neighbor. Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for all them, to set us free from the devil, to do the proper work of Christ, to tell the truth about Him on His behalf in love for the neighbor. Beloved, for Christ's sake, do you love the truth and the neighbor? And for Christ's sake, will you say this morning, I'm going to set aside that devilish business of lying. And I'm going to be busy in the godly activity of telling the truth for His glory and for the honor and the benefit of my neighbor. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts, that we may know and be assured of the forgiveness of our sins, even as we ask thee to renew us so that we will avoid and flee from lying, that we will speak the truth, especially seeking to honor thee as thy witnesses to the truth of Jesus Christ, and then also seeking to show love to our neighbor in the home, in the school, and in this church. In this coming week, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.